I see that this report is an annual in its 8th year.
Yep, that's right. We've released it almost every single year except for one. So it's the 9th year of us doing Following the Money, but the 8th year of us doing this particular report.
I had a look at the 2010 report, and I noticed that I think it was 18 states that have failed. Have it down to 4?
Yeah, exactly. We've certainly come a long way since 2010. States have taken some really great strides to get more data available online about how they spend tax dollars, but obviously still a ways to go. And the states that are consistently at the bottom are really the ones that we're going to be focusing on going forward. We're going to make sure that folks in states like California and Alaska can access information just as easily as other states.
Can you go over some of the criteria for how grades are awarded?
Yeah, sure thing. So over the years, we've always graded states on a couple of basic criteria. First of all, we want to make sure that states have checkbooks online about how they spend tax dollars, like line item, purchase by purchase, including the recipient of the tax dollars, a sort of checkbook just like you would have for your own budget. And that really allows citizens to see exactly how their state government is using their tax dollars. Beyond just the basic checkbook expenditures, we also want states to provide information about spending that tends to be off budget. So things like economic development subsidies, which amount to quite a lot of money in a lot of states, which are, you know, essentially tax breaks for companies to create jobs or provide job training or other types of public benefits. That those tax dollars are going to these companies to produce a public benefit, and the public should know if that is happening or not. That's why we ask states to put up projected public benefits and actual public benefits for these economic development subsidies. And then there's also a whole universe of semi-private government agencies, quasi-public agencies that in the past, you know, in 2010, it was almost impossible to know how they were spending tax dollars. Now, a lot of states have information about those types of bodies online, and we're constantly pushing for more disclosures in that arena. And this year, for the first time, we actually took these websites for a test drive using focus groups to actually determine if these websites were functional, accessible, and usable by normal people who don't have a background in bureaucracy, who might not be experts, but should still be able to access the information. So that new sort of real-world test criteria is what saw a lot of grades drop this year.
The criteria got a little more intricate. It was tougher to make the grade?
Yeah, exactly. So we believe that as technology advances, state governments should advance along with it. It's kind of like graduating from 9th grade to 10th grade. The tests, the content get a little bit harder. So our criteria and our standards definitely went up a little bit, and that's part of the reason why states did see their grades drop.
The cost states are incurring to develop and maintain these sites seem to cover quite a significant range in terms of what's spent. Does spending more correlate to a better site? Mississippi, an expenditure of $2.2 million in startup costs, subsequent annual operating expenditures look to run $400,000 a year. Their grade is a D+, scoring 63 points. Compare that to the state of Arkansas. They got a B-. They scored an 82 on a budget of $558,000 for startup costs and $175,000 for annual operating budgets. What are some of the explanations that you've heard for what strike me as anomalous gaps?
I think one big thing about how states approach transparency websites is, are they approaching it from a place of wanting this website to be used by ordinary citizens, or are they approaching it from a place of having state bureaucrats prioritizing experts? And I think that's where the gap happens and why money doesn't necessarily correlate to a more functional website for ordinary citizens. For example, some of the states have created websites entirely from just their existing budget of whatever department. So a fairly negligible amount of money, really, in the scheme of things. And it has resulted in some pretty decent websites, like functional websites that are totally usable, whereas some states have used a lot of money, like you said, you know, Mississippi, $2.2 million, quite a lot, low-scoring state, however. And that's because the website really was built with an eye towards internal use rather than an eye towards being a public-facing website. And we believe that this information needs to be public-facing and it needs to be accessible to ordinary folks. That's really the whole point. If data is trapped in a labyrinth of bureaucratic red tape, then it's not actually transparency.
Not long ago, I interviewed a data expert at the Project on Government Oversight. He suggested error ratios in the neighborhood of 80 and 90%, according to a variety of IG reports in the data samples. Numbers that high were of considerable concern. Would you contend that this kind of information is provided with a higher standard in terms of its accuracy at the state level?
That is a bigger question than is the scope of this report, really. We've been pushing states to even take the step of putting their data online, which a lot of states have struggled with, making sure that that data is actually accurate, that it's actually consistent and reflecting real spending is just outside of the scope of what we did here. But it definitely is a concern. I've seen that pretty repeatedly as well, particularly with bigger states that have multiple different agencies operating in bureaucratic silos. Actually making sure that this data is consistent and standardized is a pretty big project. And I think that's what we started trying to get at with some of the usability features, asking states to actually standardize how they report their data, how they label things, small details like making sure that there aren't typos and that the word travel is spelled consistently across an entire data set. Those are the things that we're working on now.
I've been talking with Michelle Circa from the Public Interest Research Group. She directs the Campaign for Budget Transparency. For more information, you can visit their website at pirg.org. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.